Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, brought to you by Fear the Sword, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog, in the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com, and the step back today. Monday, it's June 26, 2017. It's a mailbag Monday. We'll run through some news first, answer your questions, as we always do here on Mondays on the Locked On Cavs podcast. For next week's show, as always, you can submit them to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com, to LockedOnCavs on Twitter, to me on Twitter at CWMWrites, over at r/ClevelandCavs, where I'll put up a post every week where you can submit them there, or to just DM me or whatever. Just however you want to get them into me, and I'll answer them. Right now, though, you are probably thinking about the Cavs is reported. The reported discussions between the Cavs, the Pacers, and the Nuggets about a three-team deal that would send George to Cleveland and Kevin Love to the Nuggets. Kenneth Reed, per Chris Haynes of ESPN.com, has been noted as someone that would end up in Cleveland in one of the versions of this deal. And the money for this gets a little bit dicey just because of what Denver has and where it's about to have to go. It's also unclear how deep these discussions have been or how serious they've gotten. Joe Vardy of Cleveland.com said there were draft night talks, but they stalled out. And it's also unclear exactly what Denver's willing to give up to get Kevin Love. And that, to me, is the big question mark here. Is Denver willing to dive into some of their young players, the Wanchos, the Moutiers, the Gary Harris and Jamal Murrays in particular? Those are the guys that they're probably going to have to send to Indiana to get this deal to go through. Are they willing to do that? Do they view Kevin Love that much? I think offensively, as friend of the pod and host of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, Adam Mattis has tweeted, he would make their offense incredible. Defensively, him and Jokic are not going to be good, but they'd be incredible offensively. The passing would be great. You get a floor spacer next to Jokic. It'd be very interesting to see those two as a front court duo. But we don't know what Denver's willing to give up. Are they going to give up a Gary Harris or a Moutier or a Murray? My guess is they probably would give up Moutier. And maybe Wancho and maybe Malik Beasley and those, some of those other guys. But if I were them, I'm trying to keep Gary Harris and Jamal Murray. Because those guys are awesome. But what's interesting here, too, is that this could be an opportunity, I think, for the Cavs to fill some other needs. Fareed is someone that I'm not a huge fan of. I think he's better probably than I think he is. Adam said, he tweeted out there that he could be someone who would be better in a situation like Cleveland. He's a good offensive rebounder. He's a good rebounder in general. He plays really hard, and he can run the floor, which could fit. Matt Morris, his defense was really good last year. That's at HP Basketball, who lives in Denver, goes to a lot of Nuggets games for CBS. knows that team really well, said his defense was really good last year. He's probably built to be better suited to play on a really good team where he can do less, and there's certainly some truth to that. I don't think he's just exactly what the Cavs really need. I think he could help. I don't really think he'd be useful as a backup five, which is kind of what you'd want him for, I guess. You'd want him to spell Tristan in those minutes in some capacity. You know, you could use him as a... I could see some use for him as a four. I mean, you're not going to have George and LeBron in this situation playing together all the time. You are sort of looking for bigs if you are trading Kevin Love, a guy that was playing over 30 minutes a night for you. And Eddie Tavares, who I think could be a good backup five option next year, is not going to play all those minutes. You don't want Fry playing the four, certainly. You don't want him and Tavares and Fry playing together, probably. And you're not really going to get other pieces that fit perfectly there. But if I was the Cavs, I would be asking about Wilson Chandler. I don't know how available he is, how willing Denver is to dealing him, or what it would take. But he would fit perfectly. He'd be a guy that could allow you to stay really flexible to fit some of the needs that they have. He's a guy that can defend a lot of positions and is just a really good player, and that would fit really well in that Cavs team. He would fit really well on the Cavs teams even last year with Kevin Love. I'd also ask about Will Barton. Will Barton is a very good backup point guard. He'd be someone that, you know, I don't know if he's necessarily an upgrade over Deron Williams, but I think he'd be a good option if Deron's going to ask for a lot of money. He also does fit the Mike Dunleavy trade exception that was created when Dunleavy went to Atlanta. So you could fit him under that. You could squeeze all of that guy in. You could theoretically have a deal where George comes from Indiana, Wilson Chandler comes from Denver, and so does Will Barton. And maybe it's Fareed, and maybe it's Fareed and Barton. You're not getting Fareed and Chandler. Shumpert is the guy that I think, if you're looking at the Cavs having to give up one of Thompson, J.R. Smith, and Amon Shumpert, Shumpert's going out to somebody. My guess is it'd be just whoever takes him, I guess, but that's kind of how the money would work there. And if the Cavs are going to ask for the Chandlers and the Bartons, it's probably taking a Chetty and maybe the 2021 pick for that to get done. I mean, that's a lot. That's going all in. That is using all of your assets, but maybe that's what you decide to do. I mean, George could be a rental anyway. This could be your chance to win it all again, to entice LeBron and George to stay, and to build around those two and Kyrie moving forward. And yes, you're going to be expensive, and yes, that's all complicated, but you could do that. You could go in with those assets and at least offer it and see what Denver's interest would be. I've just seen smarter people than me talk about Fareed. I'm okay. I'd be more okay with it than I was if it was just me talking about it. I mean, I think Mara's Adam and Matt would know better than me, and Dan, shout out to Minuteman Dan, but I would ask for Wilson Chandler if I was the Cavs, if we're being honest. And this is also noteworthy, part of the type of deal the Cavs would need to get George at all at this point. Indiana doesn't seem to have any interest in Love, nor really should they, I think. And as Caitlin Cooper pointed out on Twitter, maybe there may be best way to wait to do something like this until Gordon Hayward has made his decision, because Boston could be leveraged into giving up more to get George, if that's what they want to do, or the Lakers could get pushed into wanting more. So that's where that stands. We don't know how deep this is going to be. We don't know if it's imminent or not. I would guess not. I guess more that it's a discussion, but it's interesting. It's the type of the Cavs would need to get Paul George, and I think there could be some additional benefits to that deal if the Cavs could find a way to pull it off. Also, discussions are still ongoing between the Cavs and Chauncey Billups. He didn't play for the Big Three team. He's the captain of on Sunday, for what it's worth. TBD on what the exact timeline is with Billups or what the Cavs' backup plans may be, but this is not ideal. You'd want the Cavs to have a GM in place as they're negotiating this possible deal for Paul George, and deciding summer league slots and all of this stuff. And you're in a very interesting situation. That no news is not great news, and on the Billups front, just because you have very dicey things on the line there, and the future of the Cavs is really, you know, up in the air a little bit with all that's going on, and you have to kind of get the right pieces in place for this, and you want a GM and his staff in there, and Kobe Altman, I'm sure, is a very capable decision maker. I just can't imagine he's the, you know, exact guy that's going to be pulling all of the strings moving forward. And lastly, in other news, we do have some of the names that are going to be playing on the Cavs' Summer League team. Andrew White from Syracuse is on the team. Guard Brandon Paul is on the team. Worth noting that Paul plays for Anadolu Efes in Turkey. That's the same team Chedi Osman plays for. You have power forward Grant Jarrett. You have forward Casey Prather, who played for the Mavs last year in Summer League. And then you have two Canton Charge standouts, Roosevelt Jones and Gerald Beverly. Jones is a 6'4 guard who played at Butler. Beverly is an undersized center who played 40 games for Canton but really didn't play very much behind Eric Moreland, who my guess is won't be on this team, even though he was very good in the D-League last year. Another guy is T.J. Williams, who's a guard from Northeastern, who signed for the Summer League as well. Eddie Tavares and Kay Felder are expected to headline this team for the Cavs if the Cavs decide to sign Osman and bring him over, and it's before July 7th. I would expect him to possibly be there. It may be tight. You know, we're about to June. This is the week of June 30th. We're not that far off from Summer League, but it's worth noting that Osman could sign and be added to this roster, and I'll expect a full roster announcement sometime this week, and maybe some more names will come up, and we'll see. I have all the guys there that aren't Felder or Tavares. I think White's the most interesting. I think he's 6'7". He's a little bit older, but he could be someone that you could see maybe on a two-way contract that they try to develop with the Charge this year. And I would guess some of these guys are ultimately competing for training camp invite spots. And we'll see where that gets them ultimately. I'm not sure any of them are actually going to be that good. I'm not a huge college basketball guy, but just the profile of White to me is pretty interesting. And now, as we always do, we'll get into your questions. Again, drop them in on Reddit, on via email, via Twitter, however you want to drop them in, you can submit them in there. We're going to start with one from Reddit from Browskis. He asked, or she, I don't know, Reddit, kind of sort of gender non-specific. He says, or she, are the Cavs actually messed with everything that's happened recently, or are people just overreacting? You know, I don't want to say they're a complete mess. I think, you know, you have LeBron, and you know, he's not, like, subtweeting the organization, and this could be worse. I just think it just right now you just kind of have a very clear idea of what the Cavs' structure has been like, you know, in recent years. You have Dan Gilbert. If you read all the stories about what went wrong with negotiations, it was Gilbert and Griffin not even getting to talking about salary. Really, it was about philosophy, and it just tells you that Dan Gilbert's going to have a very strong voice in this organization. For better or for worse, I would argue it's going to be more for worse than anything, just because you just don't really want a meddlesome owner. I don't think that it has a great track record across any sport, and things are still okay. Like, you have LeBron. You lose LeBron, and it ends up becoming, because of Dan Gilbert, like, yeah, then that's really bad. You know, I wouldn't say this is the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst. It's not total doomsday, but this isn't ideal in the sense that you don't have a GM 6 days before free agency while you're signing undrafted guys, while you're trying to negotiate a trade where that would deal one of your three best players to trade for Paul George. These are very tricky situations. These are very complicated things, and it is a little bit insane that the Cavs don't have a GM. You know, maybe it all gets worked out. Maybe Kobe Altman has been very stabilizing, and maybe Gilbert's not meddling too much, but just based on what we know, I would guess that's not true. And I think they are kind of a mess in some capacity. They're a very dramatic organization. They've always sort of been this way, especially, you know, in recent years. And I don't want to say they're a mess, but I don't, and I mean, guys that are more plugged in than me have, you know, Windhorst said it wasn't chaos. I think it is just a little nuts that they don't have a GM 6 days before free agency. We've heard nothing about alternative plans if Billups doesn't take the job, and it's what we're kind of facing right now, and I don't think that's a particularly healthy thing. If you're a Cavs fan, if you're just kind of observing this, like, this is a little bit insane. It's not a complete utter mess, but it's a mess to some degree. Next question comes from email via Bunk Marciano. He writes, while the Cavs search for a new GM at the moment and the Paul George trade is likely out of the picture, well, maybe not in this question, in fairness to Bunk, came in before the report, who are some of the key players they can add slash trade for Ben Chubb? I wouldn't mind Carmelo for extra scoring if he accepts a buyout, and even Wade, but the bench should also be a little young. It might sound far-fetched, but what are the odds of the Cavs bringing in bench help such as Wilson Chandler, Rudy Gay, Ben McLemore, Mario Chalmers, or even Tony Allen? So I'm not big on Rudy Gay coming off Achilles. Score doesn't really fit your total needs. I'm not sure McLemore is that good. He's also probably going to sign something a bit more expensive this summer. Chalmers, I guess that'd be okay. Allen would be a guy I would call this summer. I think defensively he would make a lot of sense. Depends on what the Grizzlies want to pay him, if he wants to leave Memphis. You can really probably should only offer him the minimum for what he is, but I would certainly call. Melo and Wade, I think both could help if they get bought out. I don't think you give up assets for them. I don't think you want to spend a lot of money on them. The scoring would help. You're probably not helping you defensively at all, which is the problem. If I was the Cavs, and I tweeted about this the other day, I'd be trying to work the peripheral trade market right now. If you don't think you're getting George, I would be calling on George for sure. And again, this is why I would ask for Wilson Chandler in that deal with Denver. But I would be calling about Patrick Beverley in Houston and trying to flip Shump in a three-team deal where you get Patrick Beverley. Or getting someone like that can fill roles for you, help on defense, and fills a need at backup point guard and replaces what Darren Williams did. Well, being better on defense and maybe a little bit less on offense, but you can maximize, you know, Beverley pretty well if you're Cleveland. You have to kind of find that type of deal. You have to probably take a chance on Chetty being good if you can't get the big star. And you're probably, again, betting on minimum guys. That's kind of the position you're in. There's not a lot of flexibility. You're calling veterans. I like the Tony Allen idea a lot. I like Melo if you get him, if he gets brought out. Wade, same thing. You got to just think about what you're going to pay them, though, and I think guy like Patrick Beverley would be someone I would call on, and Will Barton and Wilson Chandler, to me, would be guys that would fit really, really well. I might even call about Moses Bates, man, if we're being honest. He's a free agent, I believe. Don't know what he's looking for, but I might call on him, too, and we'll get into a big offseason preview probably next week is when we're looking at that, but you're looking at guys that you can afford, that you can maximize your assets to get. And someone like Patrick Beverley, where you can work the trade market, and maybe a Ricky Rubio if he becomes available, and you can, maybe use him on Schumbert's contract to match salary and get him off your books. To me, that would make a lot of sense. Next question comes via Twitter from Jordan Bell at Jordan_B3LL. He asked, and this is about George and LeBron, their fit. He says, my main issue is, do either PG or LBJ agree to play power forward? Neither are fond of that, to put it nicely. # locked on lockdown Cavs mailbag. So I'm going to just read a tweet from Carter Rodriguez. I had a very just unsure answer about this, but friend of the pod Carter Rodriguez had a tweet here that he wrote, just remember that LeBron had said he was willing to play power forward full-time if the Cavs sign Joe effing Johnson after his buyout. So maybe LeBron slides down, and maybe that it's as simple as that. Maybe George is more willing to do it with LeBron, and they probably are going to be interchangeable in some way if you get them. But it's a question. I think the rebounding, those guys would have to rebound really, really well to kind of make that work, and I think they're capable of it. You have to replace Love's rebounding, basically, between those two guys, and Thompson's probably doing more. But it's probably LeBron slides down. I think it'd be a really good fit for him as well at this point. And George, you know, taking on some of the more difficult perimeter assignments, and they're going to, again, be interchangeable and switchable there in some way. Next question comes from Kevin Stankiewicz. He asks, when will we know whether Chetty Osman is officially coming over? It's a good question. I would guess you're going to get an answer sooner rather than later. He's going to fit into the offseason budget just based on the Cavs' money situation. They're going to have to pay him something out of their mid-level, probably. Use some of that $5 million they have to get him or sign him to a minimum deal. And if they make a trade, he gets involved too. I would guess you're going to find out sooner rather than later, especially because you want to see if maybe you can get him into Summer League. At the same time, you don't know. I mean, without the GM, like, how much do you actually know, right? Like, I mean, that's certainly a problem there as well. You don't know who the GM's going to be. And you don't know who's actually, how high they are on him. It's hard to negotiate if you're Kobe Altman. Like, I can't imagine they're actually, like, negotiating with him right now. But I would guess sooner rather than later. Maybe sometime this week, maybe we'll hear a report. David Pick is a guy on Twitter who is, like, the European Woj. Is someone I would recommend following for that information. If you're looking for someone to get on hashtag study watch this week as we get closer and closer to what is always the most entertaining free agency period in sports, NBA offseason, finally get started. Next question comes from Twitter via Joe_Cavs. In Amico's Dribbles, he says that opposing execs believe Tucker has indicated he comes to the Cavs for the minimum. Does that move the needle or no? So let's start with the first part of this first. I'm not buying P.J. Tucker coming for the minimum, if we're being honest. P.J. Tucker, he's only 32. He can definitely get more than that. I don't think he has any direct connections to LeBron or the Cavs. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. And if you're really looking for the best information possible about the Cavs, I would say Wendy, Varden, Lloyd, McMenamin are your big four, are the guys that I would really be in. Woj, you're going to get, you know, some nuggets there, and Shams, but those are the guys that I would be really saying, like, trust those guys. If it comes from them, it's going to be a little bit more legit. It's going to be a little bit more vetted. As far as signing Tucker, he, to me, would be really high on the Cavs' wish list this summer. He's not, you know, a super knockdown shooter, but he can defend. He can take some of that burden off LeBron. You know, if you get Paul George, he fits really well as an auxiliary piece to those guys, especially if you get Fareed, right? Like, if you get Fareed in that deal, you want another wing, and especially if Shump goes out. Like, I think Tucker would fit really well. It gives you someone that gives you really good defensive switchable lineups. So, yeah, I don't know if it changes their full-on trajectory, but I think he helps, and I think he'd be someone I would be trying to sign, and maybe he's worth that full $5 million. You know, I mean, I think, especially if RJ retires, you got to replace that type of body. You know, even if it's to help give LeBron some rest and to maybe unlock some really interesting, really small wingy lineups. I mean, if you get Tucker, you know, you could theoretically next year do something where it's like George, LeBron, Tucker, J.R. Smith, and let's say RJ comes back, you know, RJ. Like, you could have that, and, you know, with LeBron and George handling the ball, and you're switching everything, you know. That'd be really cool. You know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We don't know. You know, you could even throw Kyrie in there and just have, like, four switchables, but LeBron at the five or George at the five would be really fascinating. So, to me, Tucker would help. I would be a fan of signing him. Related to this is Arnav Charian asks on Twitter at Arnav Charian, thoughts on Korver's return in Cleveland? If so, what price? It's a good question on the price. You know, I don't know if I was him, I would be asking for a good amount of money. You know, you don't want to take the minimum at this point. The Cavs do have his bird rights, so he can say, look, you can go over the Cavs to get me. If I was the Cavs, I wouldn't go so far. Over the cap to pay him, I don't know if you want to break the bank for Korver, but if you get him for like $8 million in the $10 million range, that's probably what he's going to ask for. I would do it. I think it's hard to replace his shooting. I think he could still be a really useful piece. I don't think his finals are necessarily indicative of how he would play against Golden State, personally. I think he could shoot better. I would bring him back if I was the Cavs. It just depends on the price. You don't want to get into a bidding war on Korver, but you did give up a first round pick for him. He does fit really nicely with LeBron on bench units, and is especially going to be useful for you in the regular season, and I think he liked it here, and it seems like he wanted to come back, so I think it would make a lot of sense for him to potentially come back. It just depends on the price, but again, the Cavs do have his bird rights, so if you're wondering, oh, why can the Cavs bring him back if they spend all this money, it's really, they can go over the cap to bring him back, and they will almost certainly have to do so, if they wanna if they want to bring back Kyle Korver. We'll have to kind of just take that that financial burden on the chin and kind of deal with it. Is what it is. Next question comes from James E. Powell. What is going on with Chauncey Billups? I don't really know, man. I know we talked about this a little bit. It's just it's a stalemate again. I don't 100% know. It just seems like he that personal stuff and wanting to live in Denver and the comfort of living in Denver for him is really valuable, and I can't blame him for that. The comforts of home, as any of you I'm sure out there know, I mean, there's an allure to that. So we'll see. But I would expect the Cavs, if they don't get an answer Monday, Tuesday, which is even crazy that they've kind of drugged this out that long, will maybe move on to a Justin Zanuck or an Altman or someone. Just they'll go after somebody else. And hopefully it's not Joe Dumars. Next question. James Watson at JimRun85, a long-time question asker on this pod, asked, if Billups says no, what's plan B? Promote within some other Detroit connection, or my dream scenario, give Griff a blank check. Just give Griff a blank check. That's what I would do. I would have done that before, though. But I don't know. That's a really interesting question. Billups says no. Zanuck's been a guy they've been linked to. He certainly, I think, has the experience, was going to be the Bucks GM, was like kind of hired to be their GM in waiting, and that didn't work out. I get, you know, that Detroit connection is there with Dumars, I guess. I think he was rumored to be in, kind of be linked with the team before. I would guess that Zanuck would be someone they'd interview. But I think they're kind of, it seems like they're very much banking on Billups. And we just don't know. I mean, it's very interesting to me that none of the people you would go to for big Cavs news that would ultimately have a lot of really detailed information have at all hinted at a plan B or mentioned other names that they've talked to. It's been Billups from day one. It's been their only pick. You know, I mean, there have been some rumblings of Zanuck, but that's the only other name that's been outside, and that's very, very interesting. The last question this week is going to be another one from Kevin Stankiewicz. Do you think the Cavs should go about assembling a bench specifically designed to match up versus Golden State? Like, Fry is good during the regular season, but if he is unplayable versus Golden State, is he even worth a spot during the 82 or so in games up to the finals? Could there be spots that will be filled by someone better equipped to play the Warriors? I think you want best of both worlds, I think. Pariah has his uses, I think. All these guys have had their uses, but I think if you get Paul George, that would help a lot. I also just think you can't get so deep into trying to play their style and match up with them that it changes your style. Like, the Cavs have to kind of remember their identity, and I don't think you can change what they do so much that it changes who they are and it makes them ill-equipped to play because they're just not comfortable with that. Like, you still have to kind of do what you do, but maybe it's retooled with Tucker. Get rid of Shumpert and getting, you know, just do something to change it up. And George would be the way you really do it. I don't know if a lot of the smaller moves that have been talked about, Tucker, James Johnson, like those type of guys, Patrick Beverley, who I like, I just don't know if those moves actually move the needle quite enough. Like, I think they help. I think they make you better. I don't know if they move the needle enough. George is the guy. That's why you go get a guy like George. That's why I think you trade him for Kevin Love and take the risk on the rental, is because he allows you to kind of better match them, and you can still sign guys, you know, to fill those other spots. And maybe Fareed in that vacuum could be valuable for the Cavs. He could play the four, give you some big minutes, and have him go up against David West. I mean, maybe that's what you do. I'm not saying that couldn't work, especially because you could bring over Chetty. You could bring over other, you know, you could get back RJ. You could get Tucker with that $5 million. Use something, round out the roster that way, and find a way to work it. But I think Fry still has value, I think. Korver still has his value, but I think you do need other personnel to kind of make it work. George would be a way to really get there. But that's going to be it for today's Locked On Cavs. We'll be back probably Wednesday, maybe tomorrow, depending on what happens with this GM search. The plan this week is on Wednesday to talk to William Bull about Kevin Love. On Friday, we'll talk to Carter Rodriguez about LeBron, Kyrie, and their seasons, and kind of review their seasons. But if a gym thing breaks, we'll break that down on a pod. If a trade happens, we'll break that down on the pod. Hoping to talk to Adam Mars as well. So the plan was for 3 episodes. This with a plan to add in more if GM news broke. we'll get there if some things change. We'll hopefully talk to Adam about that deal, but you could have up 5 episodes. You'll have at least 3. But thanks again for so many questions, and we'll talk to you guys again soon on the Locked On Cavs podcast, brought to you by Fear the Sword and brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Peace out.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.